I am ready to find representation. That is my current emotional and mental state of being. And actually, last month, I may have uploaded a podcast about this. Sometimes I don't remember if I just recorded it and discarded it, or if I actually recorded and uploaded it. But I had spoken about being ready to find, to start seeking representation. But this recent Sunday, this month of July, my birthday month, this was the first feeling of being ready to have representation. So in June, it felt more anxious. I gotta do that. I gotta do that. I gotta find this person. But in July, it was more calm, more peaceful, just this state of readiness that it's coming, that I've done a lot, that I can be confident in what I have to offer. And so I don't know if other people have experienced the same thing, but I definitely notice a difference between being ready to find and being ready to have. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about the different types of representation, what I've heard from other people, and what my plans are. So, as far as I know, there are four ways of having representation. I'm sure I'm going to learn more in the upcoming months and years. So definitely do your own research so that you're as educated as possible. So, self-regulating, self-managing, that is one way to do it. And there's nothing wrong with it. But it is time-consuming, it is labor-intensive. Some doors won't be open to you that could otherwise be open to if you go the traditional route. But nowadays, a lot of people build their brand, build their voice, their community, their content, and people from the industry find them and broker deals with them because they already have established themselves and that people are invested in their brand. Because we live in a world where there's essentially an overflow of content. And this has never happened before. So a lot of people don't know what to watch. They'll watch 10 minutes of this show and then 10 minutes of that show, and they'll keep jumping, jumping, jumping to find one that really works. And as a result, streaming sites and networks are looking for people that already have a base. That happened with Issa Rae. It's happened with a lot of other people. And sometimes that just is the way to go because you're not watering down, you're not changing things and condensing it into what maybe an exec wants, you know? The only thing is, it will take more time and it's really hard to do that nowadays. So, Issa Rae got started back when YouTube was starting. A lot of the other people that are in the mainstream right now, they got started on YouTube and the Vine back when they were starting. Now, YouTube has exploded, and there's essentially saturation. So, I would say to still do it, but just know that it might take 5 to 10 years or more. Okay? And again, if that is your journey, that is your journey. Sometimes it feels better when people find you rather than you running around to find representation. There's an old proverb that says, what you seek is seeking you in return. And I believe that. So you can do it that way. The other thing is, an agent or a manager. And these ones people really confuse. I know I was confused when I was starting. So I'm going to share what I understand, and there is an article on We Screenplay that might also help clarify things for you. So a literary agent is like a sales broker. Their focus is on contracts, like selling your script or getting you staffed on like a writer's room for a TV show that you love. They really are project by project, okay? They represent you by connecting you with those that are looking to staff or producers that might be interested in your script. And agents can pitch you your work, help facilitate meetings, and negotiate deals. They're really known a lot for negotiating those deals. They are licensed by the state, so they can secure employment for you, and they just market and sell. That's their job. However, a literary manager is not just project by project. They are invested in you. So they will help guide you and support you. They will read your scripts and help you develop your voice and figure out who to send it to. Also, let's say you have an idea, you had a dream, you're like, oh, this is brilliant, I've never seen it. You call up your manager, tell them the idea. Their job is to know the industry well enough to know if it's already been done so that you don't waste your time trying to write it. Okay? They will help organize the best next steps. They can also help you find an agent. They just really help you navigate the world of Hollywood. So they can help set up meet and greets. They can help you with your career goals, but you need to tell them your career goals. They'll just help you grow and really support you through that journey of writing. And so that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a literary manager that understands my voice, because it's very different. kind of as a rule breaker in a sense. I really don't like stiff old men who are like, it has to be done by the book. I don't like that. A lot of the successful managers that I've listened to on YouTube, they have paved their own way. They've done things in a different way. So I like when people are original. I'm a millennial. I like setting up new structures and social systems. That doesn't mean this person goes completely the opposite of what the industry needs. It just means that they also have a unique voice when it comes to how they support, how they market. Also, I'm looking for someone who will truly believe in me. I was listening to Jewel Ross, and he said his dream was to be thanked at the Oscars or the Golden Globes. I want someone who is really invested so that they know that that thank you at an award ceremony means everything. Like, it's really a proclamation of just how well you've worked together and that it's all paid off, their investment. I'm also looking for somebody who will be hands-on. I don't want someone who just is like trying to get a roster of people. When I envision working with a literary manager, we're going to sit down and talk about who I want to be. And I've listened to some people who are starting, and I've heard them say they want to take over the world. That's not my goal. I've listened to people say they want to be like Shonda Rhimes. I'm like, okay, that's close to, in proximity to what I want to do. I've had people say Tyler Perry. They reference a lot of people. But my true writing goal is very, very different. It includes gaming in the gamer world. So I want someone who can understand it, quantify it, meaning the steps to get there, make sure those steps are unique. I enjoy their energy. I've talked to some people and they feel dead inside. And I'm just like, I'm not enjoying that. I'm not looking forward to talking to you, right? So the way I am is I do want a personal connection to the person. I want to see that they're a good person. I want to see that they don't have limiting beliefs on me, themselves, and our capability for the industry. Because guess what? You will hear so many limiting beliefs based off of other people's perception of failure, and they project it onto you. So none of that. I require someone who meditates, okay? Because meditation will help you work through those limiting beliefs, really get to know yourself, and also get divine inspiration. Okay. I want someone who's also a talker because I'm not. I know it sounds strange because I'm doing this podcast and talking, but I want someone who can like have a different vocabulary than me, knows how to summarize, knows how to really say things in a way that it's impactful to, like, you know, sell me essentially. I want that personal touch that will be a friend for that long-term career guidance. They'll keep an eye on the future as we build, we co-create. So that's what I'm looking for. And I haven't found the person just yet, but that's what I'm looking for. And as for an agent, because they are short-term focused and I've done a little bit more research, I'm not sure if I really want to have one. I did hear that agents are dwindling in Hollywood because more people are going with the fourth thing I was going to talk about. So I talked about literary managers, literary agents, doing it yourself, and then there are entertainment lawyers. So a lot of entertainment lawyers are the ones facilitating contracts and negotiating deals. So potentially, I could only need a literary manager for my writing career who has a good entertainment lawyer to broker those deals. Whenever I think about money and contracts, I get a headache because I'm a creative. I create. And all the logistics, this and that, it kind of eats away at my soul. So I need someone who likes doing that, who is good at doing it. And also, apparently they're cheaper. I don't know the exact percentage, but apparently managers receive a commission of 10 to 15% off of whatever the deal is. And agents, I think it's between 7 and 20. It really varies. But again, managers are not licensed by the states. So there will have to be an agent or a lawyer that brokers those deals and signs the contracts. I just saw a note on WeScreenplay. It says, by law in the United States, agents cannot take more than a 10% commission for their work. So I don't know where 7 to 20 came. I probably was mixing up manager in my head. So I think it's more so managers that can take between 7 and 20%. And agents only take 10%, and lawyers are paid by the hour, most of them, or it can be by project. It's whatever deal you work out. Managers can become attached as a producer or director for your work, but agents can't. Okay, so I forgot to say earlier, I do want a manager producer. Because I would love to have someone who wants to produce it as well. Okay. Lastly, agents can receive guidance from the manager. The manager can offer their opinion to the agents, but it's still the agent who negotiates the deal on your behalf. And they're like going to the meetings or talking on the phone, or the lawyer. Again, managers can't do that. So you will have to decide what's best for you by getting really clear on who you are and where you want to go. I watched one of Issa Rae's masterclass videos I'm pretty sure it was on Masterclass. She was talking about when she started, she was scared of her manager and agent. She was scared of being fired. And so she had this anxiety and she was trying to be a people pleaser. But then all of a sudden she realized, and I don't remember what the trigger was, but she realized, no, they work for me. I can fire them. And it just changed her perception. She had a paradigm shift. And so that really stood out to me, right? Don't try, well, in my regular day job, sometimes people call me figuring out how to force a relationship and fight for a relationship to make it work. I don't believe that love has to be fought for. And so sometimes you just have to be like, it's not working. I don't want to compromise my happiness to fight for something that's not working. And so you let that relationship go. The same is true for the working relationships. If something's not working, you're not vibing, be okay with acknowledging it and moving on. So what's happened recently for me? I signed up for an initiative that's meant to help Black, Indigenous people of color. I had two calls with an individual. So I had some red flags. I'm not going to really mention what those red flags are. So just remember, you are interviewing the person just like they're interviewing you. They're deciding if they're going to work well with you, and you're doing the same. So this person already gave me some red flags. And then the last most recent conversation, it didn't go wrong, but I felt in my gut, this is not the right thing. So I just said, sometimes two people aren't a good fit and it's neither person's fault, right? And so then I was like, okay, what's the next steps that I can do? So there's a few management companies out there that I Googled, and some of them are open to be queried. And I messaged five of them. One of them I had messaged before in 2019, never heard back. This time I heard back within 2 hours. They sent me a release form and they asked to receive my script. Luckily, I had recently updated Karmic Bait and shaved off additional pages, so it's 120 pages. I also noticed right before I sent it that there was a formatting error on the first page. Come on. This is such an old script. I can't believe I didn't see that. But then I realized it was because I had parts stuck in my head, meaning the setup of the space was like a studio apartment where there's no separation between the kitchen and the bedroom. But because there might be confusion for the person, just because, you know, even if I say it's a studio apartment, they still might not get it. So I just said interior bedroom night and then interior kitchen continuous, just so it's very clear and they don't dock me for anything. Because I have listened to other managers who said they're literally reading a script looking for a reason to say no. That definitely is not the person I want to work with, but some people do work like that. And so it is my responsibility as a writer to make it an easy yes. So I did go over the script again. I did make some tweaks and it's the best draft. I'm still going to send it into Barnstorm this coming Friday because that's when I get my notes back. Just because I need just one more. I haven't gotten feedback on Karmic Bait for a long time. One reason is just because it deals a lot with heavy subject matter, and when people don't get it, like I can tell if it's a cis white male reading it based off of their advice. So I just need to know if there's any other formatting errors, any other writing errors, any other anything that can be tidied up or structured better before I really, really lead with this script. Right now, I'm 98% confident in it because it's an old script. I've gone over it so many times, but I have a little bit of anxiety of like, let's just have somebody else's feedback. And I've never received feedback on this script from Barnstorm. And so I really want someone who's going to get into the meat and bones and really be like, no, I don't like this. I don't like, I want to know what they think is wrong and why. And generally speaking, Barnstorm does that. That's why I continue to send scripts to them. And what I also did was research Black literary agents, African American agents, and I queried one through their website because they, if you go to their websites and their contact page, they will let you know if they're open to being queried or not. Make sure you follow their directions because it's really irritating when people don't. Okay. And it can leave a bad taste in their mouth. Okay. But if you do it wrong, try again later on. Like I said, I queried this one management company that's really well known. 2 years ago, never heard back. And then this time around, I wrote my query differently. So Google how to do a query letter, but this is what helped me write a better query letter. Think of you being the most busy you've ever been. Think of yourself being very important, very busy, and you just only have a little bit of time to sit down and write a query letter. And that helped to change my mindset because a lot of us have that rebel architect. We don't like the rebel archetype is basically something that just resists and goes against the establishment. And so sometimes as writers, we don't want to bend over backwards to please the system, especially when we think the system is not really the right type of system. But when you change it from I need to do what they're asking me to do, like please them, and instead be like, I'm so busy, I only have a few moments to really share the most important aspects of me and the script, that can get you out of your own way. I know it did for me. And so I was like, you know what? I have important meetings to go to in a few moments. So let me just write out the basics about me, my writing career so far, the script, and just leave it at that. It was short and sweet. And like I said, I heard back within 2 hours. And when I did it before, I read it again like a day ago. It was terrible. So yeah, you will grow as a writer. You will improve. And yes, people are gauging how good of a screenplay it'll be based off of how well you write your query. So definitely put thought into it. Okay, now back to the main thing. I queried this one person, haven't heard back yet. And then there's this other one who was asking, or he was being interviewed. And he said, someone asked, how can people who are not signed, not in the industry yet, get in contact with you? And he said, don't email me because I have an agent that goes through my emails per day and clears out irrelevant emails so I can just do my work. And he said, instead, find an advocate, someone who believes in you, who will call me and tell me to read the script, to ask me to read the script and why. And I will read it. And I was like, what? I couldn't believe that I was hearing this. This was from a year ago, but this person could still be doing it. So I thought, who could I ask to do this? And my go-to script analyst popped up in my head. They know all of my scripts. They believe in me. So I was like, why don't I ask them and just make it very clear that if they say no, it's perfectly fine. But they said yes. So right now we're getting it together to send in the script to this person and figure out what we're going to say on the phone. This person might have changed their mind. They might not read it at all, but at least I'm going to do what I can on my end to get an advocate to call him and have him potentially read it. And actually, the idea of sending it to him was one of the reasons, it was the catalyst for me re-editing Karmic Bait and shaving off that extra page. So I'm very appreciative to finding him and finding that video. And now I also was, I don't know what the right word, selected? Yeah, I was selected. My script, BTW, I'm an Alien, was selected for Coverfly's Career Lab. They are offering live feedback for a script, and you could submit your script via Coverfly. So I did. and I was selected. So I'm really looking forward to that. I don't know what the requirements were to have it be selected. I didn't even think I was going to be selected, but it was. So it's going to happen July 23rd. It's going to be a live workshop and consultation. And they're going to show some of the pages to the attendees to help them follow along. And then it'll just help me improve the script. So I'm excited about that. I'm still continuing to research more literary managers to see ones that really, I feel, work in the same mindset of me, right? So that's where I am. I'm super excited about it. I've also listened to other people who have found representation. All of them, these were people of color who were recently had been signed. All of them said, don't submit to the competitions, the screenplay competitions. That's not how you're going to get signed because it's actually really hard to win one. And it all depends on who reads your script. You should still build your profile so that you're at least placing, but don't depend on winning a screenplay to get representation. All of them said, do pitching competitions. Because that way they see you, they hear your actual voice, they see you as a person, they can vibe and see if they actually like you, they can ask follow-up questions. And so there are a handful of those that you can look into. I've definitely signed up for Coverfly's Pitch Week. I don't know if I'll be selected, but a lot of people have been on there. And also, I just found out that my other script, Pandicament, placed in a competition. And so I added that to my portfolio. It was a quarterfinalist. It's a very weird script, so I didn't think it was going to win by any means. And I've since updated the script to make it even better. But I was like, oh, here's another thing I can acknowledge. Okay. So look into pitching competitions, look into websites that allow you to pitch. You might have to pay for it. I think Roadmaps has some of those things. I know Coverfly has some of them, but Coverfly's is normally cheaper. I think Stage 23, Studio 23. I'm going to Google that. I don't think I have the right name. Just one second. I don't remember the exact name of it. So definitely Google. You don't have to like be perfect at pitching, but you definitely should research how to pitch and how to pitch well. Listen to things where other people are pitching to really get a feel for it. And that might just not be your path. So don't try to force yourself into being something that you're not. I just heard really good news from people who've attended pitching competitions or have paid for them, right? So I think that's basically it for what I wanted to... Oh, it's Stage 32. Just found it. Not Studio. Stage 32. They have pitching. I do believe you have to pay for it, but it can get you access and it can get you signed. Our industry is going to come back with a roar. I know that Disney's having some issues with pirating and people not going to the box office, and so they're not making as much money, but that's going to shift and change. There will be new laws. It'll be a lot harder to do that, and it'll become more interactive. So we will always need good storytellers. We will always need engaging content and entertainment, especially when we are on spaceships and on the moon. There's nothing to do there. You're insulated. You need some content to keep you feeling alive. So just know that there's still place for your voice. I'm excited about the next steps. I'm going to continue to research people, continue to query them, continue to write, sign up for competitions that I feel inclined to sign up for, befriend more people on Twitter because I befriended somebody who I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. I just thought, I'm going to share my appreciation for their art. And they responded and then they followed me. And I was like, oh, such a nice soul. So, oh, and also I forget her name right now. Kira, I forget her last name, but she also talks about how networking on Twitter helped to get her placed in some writer rooms. So just know that friends will help you. So you might not even need a manager. You might just need to social network, which is again, you doing it on your own. I heard a famous actor say, I forget who it is right now, because it was in like a table, like a round table. But the person said, your friends or my friends have gotten me more work than anyone else. Because they're like, oh, I know a person. Because everyone wants to be helpful, right? If they're trying to find a comedian and you know a really great comedian, you're going to offer that comedian's name. So don't be afraid to connect with new people. Of course, don't be a bother. I am on the Discord server for Coverfly now, because anyone who signed up for the Coverfly Career Lab gets access, but there are some people giving unsolicited advice or kind of like hijacking conversations, and that's just a little bit irritating, not just on Coverfly, but on other Discord servers I'm on. So just make sure you're still respectful, you're still likable, so that you don't rub people the wrong way, because then they won't bring you up at all. So I'm going to leave it there. I will keep you up to date on what happens. I hope, I pray that I do find representation before the end of this year. The main thing is to trust your gut, who you feel works for you. I'll quickly say that I know this is going on a little bit longer, but I quickly talked to another writer and he said he rejected everyone that offered him representation at first because he didn't feel like it was right to work with those people. And then COVID happened and then he was beating himself up like, I should have signed with them. Now I'm never going to make it. But then he found somebody else. Okay. So if one person doesn't work, somebody else will. And they're right around the corner. So believe in yourself. Keep going.